Sarah Bennett, an attorney with the Rothstein Law Firm. I hope you all can hear this. In Santa Fe, and a board-certified family law specialist. Wondering about the sound in all of this. She advocates and practices collaborative divorce. I'm also here with Peter Brill, the owner of Sarcon Construction. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Sarah. Sorry about this background noise.
Morning, Zaylee.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Now, we're here to talk a lot about collaborative divorce. So can you tell me, what is collaborative divorce, Sarah, and who should be practicing it?
Collaborative divorce is a new approach that has developed in the last, I think, 10 years to allow people to take charge of their own divorces by electing to commit to each other to reach agreement on all the aspects of their divorce and to commit to do that rather than taking their divorce to court.
And is it for anybody in particular?
You know, collaborative divorce is available to everyone. Anyone who wants to maintain their relationship with their ex-spouse, or more importantly, to ensure that their children do well in a divorce and are able to rely on the goodwill of the parents and making sure that the children are cared for now and in the future through, you know, grandchildren and those kinds of things, really have benefited from participating in collaborative divorce. It is a process in which the parties can establish the best interest of the children as a priority and can work together to make sure that they find a way to agree on how their children are going to be provided for.
You were actually here last year speaking on this topic, and the reason I really wanted you to come back is that I've heard so many extraordinary stories of divorce where parents are putting their children in the middle. It becomes so volatile and acrimonious, and I wonder, you know, it seems, do people not know that this exists? Because we really should be considering it a bit more often. Have you seen any kind of change or maybe a popularity in collaborative divorce?
You know, I think that most people people don't necessarily hear about different techniques for divorce until they're in one. And usually their first introduction is through their attorney, when they consult with an attorney. So I think a lot of people are electing to do collaborative divorce now when they get involved or commence the process, or even first talk to an attorney and learn that it's an available option. Putting the children in the middle is something that people don't intentionally do, usually. They usually come to a divorce very committed to protecting their children and providing for them. It is accidental and inadvertent, and often because they don't realize what they're doing, that the children wind up accidentally stuck in the middle. In a collaborative divorce, we have, you know, resources to help people understand how they are inadvertently causing their children to choose between them or to do all the other things that people accidentally do when they're trying to decide the best way to handle the children.
And you're really giving them the benefit of the doubt. Sorry, you all, for the sound. You're giving them the benefit of the doubt that they do not want to involve the children in this way, but some families actually do drag kids in and try to turn them against the other. So is this the difference between a regular divorce and something collaborative?
I think that a person who tries to drag the kids in and turn them against the other parent is acting out of fear that they're going to lose their children or they're going to lose their love if they don't behave in that way. And often what we can do in a collaborative divorce context, where we have access to resources such as child psychologists and other professionals, can help people understand how it is not good for their children. People don't do it because they want to hurt their kids. They think they're doing the thing that's right for their kids. And sometimes people need some help understanding how letting go of their kids sometimes is a better choice for their kids.
Now, Peter, I'd like to bring you into this, because divorce is not an easy experience really under any circumstances, but you chose to go through a collaborative divorce. Can you talk about what made you decide that and how it worked out?
Yes, it was a tough time, obviously. A big transition is underway, and the collaborative process really is you're held in a kind of a way that you've agreed in advance to work together, to share information freely, to answer any questions that are raised. It is expressly we're agreeing in advance not to litigate, and if we would choose to do that because it breaks down, then everyone needs to find a new lawyer in the process, which is a disincentive when you're paying the legal fees and when you're investing in a process. So it was a good process. It allowed us to talk through all the issues, protect the kids in ways that were really important to both of us, and we got through it in a good way.
Now, you're also legally trained. Was it ever an option that you would not make it collaborative?
Yes, it actually it began informally, not collaboratively, but the process needed for my needs needed to be formalized in this collaborative process.
And you have two children, so was that a big part of the decision?
Yes, it was. It's all about the children, all about their future, how they live, how we both provide, a loving situation for them.
And Sarah, what do people fight about mostly in a divorce proceeding? I mean, it starts out you have two people who love each other. It doesn't work out. They discuss divorce. What are the issues that come up that you notice?
You know, it's so common when people find themselves actually coming to terms with the fact that they're getting divorced, that there's betrayal. There are lost commitments, and people have, and rightfully so, lost faith in their ability to trust the other person. So what are they going to fight about? They're going to fight about whatever is there on the table to fight about in the initial early phases. I mean, it's different for every person. Some people argue over the money. Some people argue over possessions, which ones each of them should get. Some people argue over the same things that they were arguing about during the marriage that caused them to break up. Who should be working more? Who should? All of those kinds of things are part of what you come to it with. And people are very human. They need to process these kind of emotions and deal with them. The important thing is that in the old days, you were stuck dealing with them on your own and expected to behave like a quote-unquote adult. And it's almost impossible to find a way to do that when you're in such foreign territory. So in a collaborative divorce, one of the things we do is provide the assistance and help you need to process your emotions, to identify what things are really important for you in coming to terms with a divorce, and to figure out a way to do it with dignity, to not lose your ability to act like the adult that you know you are. And find a way to sit in a room with your soon-to-be ex-spouse and talk about the things that are really important to both of you instead of the things that are such a disappointment from the past.
And Peter, were there any moments in your divorce when you said, you know what, we're done with this collaborative business? What were the challenges that you had, if any?
There were moments, that we needed to take a break and reconvene a week later to think about what the big picture is, to leave aside our own hurts and feelings. Sarah, who represented me, did a very good job of walking me back from the edge of anger, disappointment, frustration, and keeping the future in mind and keeping the kids' best interests in mind. And that was very helpful.
I'm speaking today with Sarah Bennett, a board-certified family law specialist, and Peter Brill, owner of Sarcon Construction. And we're talking about collaborative divorce. Now, Sarah, what is the difference between mediation and a collaborative divorce?
There are a wide variety of different ways to approach getting resolution of a divorce. Some people do it at the kitchen table and write up their agreement, and more than 50% of all the people in Santa Fe County who are getting divorced through the courts are actually representing themselves, preparing their own documents. And so some people are able, perhaps for whatever reasons, are able to agree on their own. If you're not able to agree on your own, or you're not able to talk together, but you're very familiar with what your assets and your interests are, if you don't have children, if there aren't complicated questions to answer, mediation is often a good approach, because you're in a room with a neutral person who can facilitate your conversations together. If you have complexity to your assets or to how you're going to work on dividing, you know, sharing the children, then you have more need for assistance. A collaborative divorce requires two attorneys to be involved, one representing each party, and many other professionals can be affiliated as needed, depending on the needs of the two parties and their family. So in mediation, you don't necessarily have neutral other experts participating in the process.
Now, the cost difference between collaboration and litigation, it's not necessarily the cheaper way to go, right?
Well, it depends. You know, in the beginning days of collaboration, we started, we compared collaboration to a fully litigated divorce. And collaboration, of course, is probably less expensive than a fully litigated divorce. But more importantly, the resources of the parties are applied more appropriately. We don't spend as much time arguing over the lesser points or legal issues, and spend more time trying to find the right answer for this family by utilizing other professionals, such as a child therapist, professional psychologist in cases where we need some help in figuring out what would really be best for these kids in terms of time sharing or all the other things that, you know, if the kids need counseling, those kinds of things. So we get more recommendations, more help for the parents if they need some help working through issues, financial advice for both of them about how to plan their future, how to make sure they have a way to move forward and know they'll be okay financially in the future. So the funds are spent in more appropriate ways than litigating lesser issues, and we keep control for the two parents about how they're going to decide for their kids. The relevant comparison is not really between collaboration and a fully litigated divorce, because very few people actually litigate every single issue. Most people figure out halfway through litigation that they need to go ahead and settle their case. So really, the difference is in allowing the parents to have a lot more control. Parents and the couple have a lot more control in how their divorce is going to go, the timing of it, the ability to take breaks. You know, Peter talked about taking a few days off and coming back next week to talk about it further. That's not an option that you always have in a process where someone else is setting the time deadlines. Also in such things as child custody and time sharing, the parents can work out an agreement that's right for their kids, and the two of them decide it in a way that no stranger to your process is ever going to be able to accommodate for you. And when I say stranger to your family, I'm talking about the judge in a family court situation. They're very well motivated, very kind judges. They're trying to do the best thing for children, but they don't know your children. Mm-hmm. They don't know your family. They don't know how you're going to be able to move forward, the two of you, and provide a home for your kids. So they're going to have to provide a more cookie-cutter definition of how these things are going to go. And families in a collaborative process can be very creative.
Now, you mentioned, I mean, let's bring in child psychologists. Do you recommend that parents who have children necessarily always have a child psychologist? And, well, answer that.
Okay. The way that we use a child psychologist in a collaborative divorce would be as a neutral consultant for the parents. That depending on how old the kids are, the child psychologist might very well meet with the children, but it would be not in a counseling capacity, but more in an evaluative capacity to find out how the kids are doing, to let the parents know signals that they're not seeing, or that they might have missed for some reason. Maybe they're only showing them at school. To help the parents understand developmentally where these children are and how they're going to respond to particular proposed time schedules, and to work on developing something that's going to meet their needs for now and how they can plan to modify that for later. The best thing that I think that child psychologists do for kids or for parents is to help them take a long view. Not to be stuck on exact numbers of hours this week that I have with my children, but much more, the view of how are my kids going to be, when they're adults? How are they going to absorb this and turn out to be healthy and normal? And
what
able
are we modeling, basically?
Exactly. And also, how is my relationship going to be with my children throughout their lifetime? So the fact that you don't have an exact 50% of the time with your infant, for example, does not mean that you're not going to have a wonderful relationship with your son in 10 years or your daughter. Those kinds of things are the most important. You want to have the long view for your children so that you can have a wonderful relationship with them and, not have embarrassing confrontations with your ex-spouse at the wedding or, the new baby that's born to your adult children, for example.
And you were mentioning that there are some changes now in child custody considerations about whether if it's an infant, it's not necessarily the best choice to have, 1 week with the father, 1 week with the mother.
Right. And, there have been a few situations. Mostly those are by agreement by parents who may not know about the developmental needs of small children. Children don't necessarily accommodate as well as the parents to a 50-50 schedule, especially at very young ages. To be required to move back and forth between households may not be the best thing for all children all the time. I mean, all we divorce lawyers have heard the story of the son who at 19 years old described his parents' divorce as a situation where his mother got a house and his father got a house and he got a suitcase. So we have to take those kids' needs into account. That doesn't mean that both parents aren't critically important. It's very important to have two parents who are there for their child at all times, even when you're not having time sharing that week. And there are many ways to set that up so that both parents are equally honored and recognized for their important contributions. And things change over time, too. If there's much more time with one parent in early years, that may very well be reversed at different times when children's needs change and they need more of the other parent.
And I've heard a lot of creative kind of child sharing agreements, divorced parents even going on vacation together to for the children, and I, you know, I guess if they're all comfortable with that. But
yeah, there aren't very many people that can actually go on vacations together. But many people do have some holidays or birthdays that they share with their child. But that's not the critical thing. If you can't be comfortable, if you can't have a wonderful time being in the same room together, that doesn't mean you can't learn how to be appropriate and polite and thoughtful of your children's interest in that.
Now, is there anything, this might be the kind of topic we're not supposed to touch on, but anything people can do on the front end to avoid really acrimonious divorces? I mean, people say, oh, don't do a will, you're so morbid, and not necessarily that everything is going to end in divorce, but some kind of discussion, even in on the front end.
Mm-hmm. You know, people do prenuptial agreements in order to provide for how they're going to divide their property up, and in many cases that's helpful for dividing property. There's virtually nothing you can do to ensure that at the end of your marriage you won't have a sense of loss, a sense of betrayal under certain circumstances. There are very few ways that you can actually provide for it. And legally, you cannot provide now for how you're going to share custody of your children in 10 or 15 years when you get a divorce. The most you can do is make yourself well-educated as to the importance of both parents. Find a way to encourage each parent to be involved appropriately in your child's life. And find a way to welcome that other parent's involvement now, at all times, and foster that. I know some people say, well, you know, the other parent was always working, wasn't here, and now he, often, but also she, shouldn't be involved more in my child's life later. But that point of view is often able to be changed at the time of divorce, and the child actually benefits from much more involvement by both parents if the parents can allow it to occur.
And really thinking about the kids there.
Yeah.
Now, you were here last year speaking about an organization called Children First, co-parenting support services. Can we mention some of the resources that might be out there for people who are in the process of going through a divorce or who are considering collaborative divorce?
Well, Children First co-parenting workshops is a wonderful resource for all parents, I would think, because as opposed to parenting, people think, well, I learned how to parent after I brought the kid home from the hospital, and so I don't need a parenting workshop. This is not about parenting. This is about co-parenting, which means finding the right way to communicate with your child's other parent about any difficult issues, about all issues, and working through things in a way that can establish a culture in your family of working together in the best interest of your children, even when you are having a difficult time with that parent.
Well, in the end, yes, I as I said in the beginning, I've heard so many stories, and so I really hope that there are people who are listening to this interview who will take this to heart, who will consider Children First, or maybe who can contact you. I've been speaking with Sarah Bennett. She's a board-certified family law specialist with Rothstein Law Firm here in Santa Fe, and an advocate for the practice of collaborative divorce. I think this is such an important conversation to have. We are going to be taking a quick break, and when I return, I'll have Nima Namadamu, who's going to be speaking this weekend about empowering girls in the Congo. Sarah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.